Thank you for Tom for leading our speaking and Robert for bringing our lesson. Thank you, Father, for all the things that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's open our books this morning to number 587. 587. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him. Just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus,
Christ be loyal and be true, His banner be unfurled, and mourn aloft to His secure the conquest of the world. To Christ the Lord be true, ever true, for He will ever go with you and help you all your conflicts through. To Christ the Lord be true, to Christ be loyal and be true, He needs brave volunteers to stand against the heart of sin, moved not by crowns nor fears. To Christ the Lord be true, ever true, for He will ever go with you and help you all your conflicts through. To Christ the Lord be true.
Sick list. Father, we pray that you be with them and comfort them. Father, we say a special prayer for Brother Jim's mother as she broke her nose. And Father, we pray that you'll be with her and heal her. And also, little Rainey, Father, we pray for little Rainey as he wants his most wanted health also. Father, we pray for all that we know are sick, not even here, but our friends and family. Pray that you be with them and comfort them. Father, we just thank you so much for this country. As Brother Bill stated, we're in turmoil and in trouble and so much ungodliness here. Father, we know that you are the way, and Father, we know that you could help us bring this country back to what it used to be. Father, we're grateful for this congregation that meets here. Father, I pray that you'll bless each person here. Father, we pray that we do fall short sometimes, Father, and we know that we do have forgiveness through Jesus Christ, and Father, we're grateful for that. Pray that you'll be with us and keep us safe. Forgive us for our many sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Be seated. Preparation for the Lord's Supper, number 588.
Tis said the feast divine, the bread, the fruit of the vine, and saints commune before the shrine in the supper of the Lord. May
until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Dear Lord, we take this bread and represents the body of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Take this fruit of vine and represents the body of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear Lord, there's times we want to get back proper to what the Lord has given us.
We have 16 present this morning. Today is January 17th, 2021, for taping purposes. If you would at this time, let's turn our books to number 696. Mark that for our song of invitation. Number 696. And once you've got that marked, let's turn to number 702. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey.
Note in John chapter 8 at verse 31 how Jesus said His word was so important to our future walk of life. In John 8 at 31 He says, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How did Jesus intend for us to live? Continuing in His word. If you continue. That word "if" is an important word because it has illustrations to the fact that it might not be the case. In some people's lives, their activities of life are such nature that they do not wish to continue in His word, obeying His word, following His teaching. And as a result, they will find themselves in dire trouble. Instead of having Him with them and guiding them in life to a better climb and a better way of living. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, he goes on to say in verse 32. You will know, you will see the truth from what I taught you. You will see the true way of life that I taught you. You'll give me the idea that in life you'll find this way of life to be so true and so accurate that nobody can successfully deny, nobody can successfully resist it. This is the way that I want you to live and I want others to live. You know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What about those people who would not follow that way? In Romans chapter 16, verses 16 and 17, we read about them. He says, first off, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. When we gathered this morning, we had in effect a holy kiss. We had a greeting of hello, it's nice to see you, good to have you here today. It's wonderful that you're better and doing better in health and everything, and that you're here a part of the service of worship of God to with us today. It's a matter of a handshake in earlier times. It's a matter of the holy kiss in a certain time. It's the matter of doing good. But he says, mark those who cause divisions and offenses in verse 17. Mark those. Make note of those. Make note of those who do not walk this way. Make note of those. Mark those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. And avoid them. They are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. What are their purpose and idea in mind? Their purpose is not to obey the Lord. Their purpose is to cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. There's a way of having division that is accurate and right. Our Lord Jesus said regarding his ministry, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came to give a sword. What did he say? I did not come at any cost to send peace on earth. I didn't come at any cost to do that. I came to send you a sword. A sword that will cut away the things of life that we ought not to be around us. We ought not to have be threatening us. They ought not to have to be controlling us. And he says, do that sort of thing. Because in that doing that thing, you will be the servant of God that you ought to be. The matter of truth is righteousness. And there in Romans 16 and 17, when he said, mark them that cause, take note of them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. He didn't tell us to hate them to the point that we would not be willing to discuss with them and teach them the gospel truth and show them the gospel way. But to be a person who recognizes that they are not coming to you for the very purpose of seeing truth, they're coming to you for the purpose of division and offenses contrary to the doctrine. And of course, we've seen various congregations overtaken by people who came in and with a smile on their face and a nice disposition of life, teaching them away from the gospel of Christ, away from the Lord's teaching, the Lord's way. So it is that we're to be people who love the Lord enough that we put into practice what he says, that we may know the truth, and the truth will make us free, because we will find ourselves obeying that truth. And when the Lord says, believe in me, what will we do? John 8:24, we will believe in him. And when he said, you need to repent of your sins. In Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, what will we do about sin? We'll turn away from sin. We will deny it. We will reject it. We'll push it away from us. Because that is what Jesus plainly said to do. When it takes the Matthew 10 at 32 and 33, that if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father who's in heaven. What if there are those who came to us and they denied that that's the way to do it? They denied the confession of the Lord. They denied His right way. Well, we're not following that way because we are making a division of those things and offenses contrary to the doctrine we do. We don't want to do that. We want to be a person who marks that, notes that, and rejects that way of life. And in repentance, we'll call upon people to turn away their lives from sin. Was not Simon himself told that in Acts chapter 8 at 22? That if he would repent and pray God, that the thought and intent of his heart would be forgiven him. And when he said to Simon Peter, "You pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things you've spoken may come upon me." Well, Peter had told him, "You're in a gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Thy heart is not right with God." He wasn't doing the right thing in desiring the gift and the power of the apostleship that he might lay hands upon others to impart to them some great powers, that he would be himself elevated even higher in their status, in their look at his life. They already exalted him because he was a great one among them, fooling them and tempting them and trying them because of the magician's work that he was doing, a sorcerer as it were. Our Lord Jesus plainly noted to you and me that we're to be people who confess him before men, and he'll confess us before the Father who is in heaven in Matthew 10 at 32. He'll confess us before the Father. Here's one who's confessed me. Now the presumption of the Lord is that we would be willing to believe in him, repent of our sins, confess our faith in him. Certainly we would not refuse the statement made in Mark 16, 15 and 16. To go into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized. That and, a coordinating conjunction. You studied that in third grade in school. The emphasis of it was given particularly by seventh grade when you began to read various structures of things in sentences. And you know that that is a way of life that has the coordinating conjunction that binds two things, at least, of equal rank or equal importance. Everything of faith and everything of baptism is included in that statement that Jesus made. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not will be condemned. That matches up what you read in Hebrews 11 verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. What can we do beyond the lack of faith that will please God? It's impossible to please God without the lack of without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and believe that he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I know this is a fundamental lesson this morning, but it needs to be on the internet system. It needs to be a part of the study of individuals who listen to us every week, not only in this country, but in other countries of the world as well. They have friends that come with them and they are there and listening to this particular study. And when we talk about this particular study, we're talking about a simple plan of salvation that Jesus himself offered and said, John 8:31, "If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed." I would not be a true disciple of the Lord did I not continue in his word and tell his word exactly as he has given it to others. But once having given it to others, do they all obey the gospel? They do not all obey the gospel. For you read there in Romans 16, 15 and 16, that we're to be people who salute one another with a holy kiss. The church of Christ salute you. Mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. It's the opposite way, it's a different way. Mark them that cause those divisions. They do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but they serve their own belly. And by fair speeches and good words, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Deception is not the thing to be done. And that's not the way of God that he taught us to live. Jude will come back to this forth and talk about that to the brethren toward the end of the New Testament in Jude 1. At verse 3 when he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." What did Jude know? Jude knew that their salvation was in Christ. And salvation was a part of God's great plan in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ. He knew that that was the beginning. He knew that as they baptized into Christ, they ought to continue to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This was a righteous thing that they were doing, and they knew that there was more to it than that. Seek first the righteousness of God. And so it was that the preaching and teaching was being done, and Jude was there doing, a brother of the Lord, he says. And as a result of that, he's teaching this method. Brethren, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and encourage you that we should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. What's that faith? It's a once delivered. It's the way that it is to be delivered. That was before when it was taught. It's today when it's taught. And when you go forth, you're to go forth with that same message of truth. You're to teach that same message to others. Thank the Lord that there are men here who are willing to do that and can go places. Sometimes when I call upon you to go to a certain spot and fill in there, preach the gospel, they want to hire you there because you preach the gospel to them. You want to teach that way of life to them. Well, that's the way it should be. But they also have men, young men there, who can be trained to do that same thing and teach this message. And so when Jude said, when I gave all diligence to write to you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that we should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. That word once is the same word used in Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed a man once to die, and after this the judgment. You're not dying to be reincarnated and come back again and thereby be taught again and be living again and have it again. It's once delivered to the saints. Being one time for all time delivered to the saints. And he says this message, this faith that he talks about in Jude 1 at verse 3. He says this is once delivered to the saints. It's one time for all delivered to the saints. This is the message that you teach the saints, that they teach the saints after you. They teach the message after you. And aren't we today here in this year of 2021? Aren't we thankful to look back and see that somebody taught our moms and dads, our grandfathers and grandmothers? They taught them the simple message of the truth, the gospel. They continued in the word of the Lord. They were made His disciples indeed. They believed this would free them from sin and from responsibility of sin, and that they could be cleansed. And as a result, they obeyed that message. They began to teach it to their neighbors and friends about. Some would believe that matter. Some would not believe that matter at all. In Romans chapter 10, we studied this morning in our Bible study class, and we got into that particular point to be made. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, he says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ." Why did he say that? Because when they heard that message, they had all responded to it. And he says, "How then shall they call on Him of whom they have not heard?" You see, obeying the Lord is the method of calling upon Him. And as a result of a calling upon Him being what He wants us to be, recognize that I have done this faith. Recognize, Lord, that I am doing this returning from sin. Recognize, Lord, that I'm confessing You faithfully. Recognize, Lord, that I've been baptized as You have taught me to do. Here that I'm living for You, I'm watching and praying. I'm being a person who is faithful to the way of the Lord. And as a result of that, we call upon Him. And we find ourselves calling upon Him. How then shall they call on Him of whom they have not believed? If we don't believe, what happens to us? It's impossible to please God. We cannot please God. And when we teach others, we are not helping them at all. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not heard or believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Is it true that there ought to be support of and sending forth a preacher of the gospel? Yes, it is. And it's the right way. In fact, the business, is there another way that God's word says that this message will go forth as it should? Oh, the word itself written down, Jude says, when I gave common salvation, it was necessary for me to exhort you. I'm writing it down to exhort you that we should earnestly contend for the faith. But in people teaching the faith, people don't always obey the gospel. And so he's talking about that here in Romans 10 at verse 14. How shall they then call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. This is a gospel message of peace and proclamation. And when we do that message of peace, he tells us in Philippians 4 and verse 7 that we have the peace of God to guard, keep us from sin and wrongdoing. That word of God will guide us into a way of life that we want to live and we want to follow. And it's a way of peace. And bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? It reflects on their faith when they do not put into practice repentance, confession, baptism into Christ, being watchful and prayerful. It reflects on their initial faith. They did not really believe like they should. And it's a sad thing, because when he tells them here, Lord, who hath believed our report, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is where we started out this morning in John 8:31. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Wonderful it is to be people who find the way of the Lord contained in his word. And when we have that word of the Lord, we won't obey. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth. By the time that Paul wrote this in Romans 10, he says that their word went into all the earth and their words to the end of the world. Every nation had found it. Every people that lived had heard it. The message of the gospel. Some did not respond to it faithfully and carry it down to the next generation of time. But evermore, as I said a minute ago, aren't we thankful that somebody taught our grandparents, our parents? They taught us. We were able to go to a Bible class and discuss it. We were able to be people who reassured ourselves that this was true, this was accurate, this was right. And as a result of that, did not Israel know? For yes, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I have found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. The Lord said, I knew that you would reject the way of Christ Jesus. The Father in heaven looked down on earth and he saw these events and he said, I know that you'll reject my son. I know you'll reject his teaching. You won't continue in his word that you may know the truth and the truth make you free. This is a message that you will not continue in. You are a wicked and a disobedient and a gainsaying people. You find yourself in a way of life. Gainsaying basically has the main meaning of stubbornness. You are stubborn to hold on to the old law. You're stubborn to hold on to the law of Moses. You're stubborn to resist this Christ who has come in my name. And as a result, it's a sad thing that has happened. This message of the Lord is a message of truth and a message of righteousness. And the righteousness that is cried by Christ Jesus will make us free indeed. When he says in Romans 10:10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He's talking about a way of life that we're coming to the Lord. We're coming to the Lord in a faith and a confession of him. We're coming to him. And as we find our lives in that way, when we get to him, What do we want to do? Do we want to do what he said do? That's what Jesus was dealing with there in John 8:31. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. When you come to him in faith, you're coming unto righteousness. When you come to him confessing him, it's unto him. And when you find that way of life, do you put into practice what he says to do? That's the question that we have to you today. As we stand to sing this song of encouragement, if there's anyone with us who needs to respond to the Lord, would you please do as we stand and sing.
There's a fountain reaches for you and me. Let us haste to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source of love, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come, will you come to the fountain free? Will you come, will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft and a soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me and its stream I see. Let joyfully there. Will you come, will you come to the fountain free? Will you come, will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain.
Sure to return with us tonight. Enjoy the singing time and enjoy the potluck that is brought tonight. To enjoy that, we're going to be at a distance from one another. We're going to be honoring that way of life because we don't want to unwittingly carry a virus with us that we don't know about and pass it along to someone else. So we're going to be cautious about that as we go through the line in that ways and that thing. But we believe we ought to just go ahead and do this again and enjoy it together tonight. And God bless you, everyone. Come to the singing and enjoy the good potluck afterwards, if you can.
Let's turn to number 114. 114, and then after the song will be ready. I stand
in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder why he should love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall
sending your son into this world to die on that cruel cross at Calvary, that we might have a hope of being with you someday in heaven. We pray for those that were mentioned here this day, Lord. We pray that you would be with them and bless them in every way you see fit. We pray that you might give them back their health to be there with. We also pray for this country, Lord.
Amen.
In a way that it's most holy at this time.
Yeah.
But we know that you have said that a kingdom divided by itself cannot stand. And we wish that this country would not be divided. We pray that you would bless us and bring us back together and make us one country. that you can be proud of. We pray for all of these blessings, Lord, and all of them. Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.